Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Shalom. On the road to happiness. On the road to happiness, I stopped by the side of it. The road will always be there, I say. Let me embrace the colors, the flowers that are fully bloomed, and those who still need another cycle before they can show their beauty. The scent of the air tantalizes me. Away from the road and onto your field. Onto a vivid field, filled with scents, colors, and openness. Openness to anything that I am open to. The air offered to shift itself and mold its presence to my hand, that suddenly was raised to scratch the back of my head. I remember that field. I recall seeing it in past years when I'd be on the road, heading towards my destination, heading, rushing to get there, ignoring the colors on the side of the road and the flowers that didn't bloom yet. The flowers and scents will surely be there, I said, heading, rushing to my goal. Once I got there, what stuck in my head were those scents and colors that I went by. Coming back from the road, I was so eager to conquer, so eager to cross, and to say I crossed the line. Yes, I've done that. But when I remembered the scents and the colors, the size of the road, I realized that this wasn't enough. There were other roads that promised the same satisfaction, but once I got there, it's like the clause of that contract was gone. There was no happiness at the end of that or those roads. This is why I come back here, now, to the flowers that bloomed, and those who need yet another cycle, to the scent that captivated me, to the air that molded itself to give. I came back to stop by the side of the road and to smell, inhale you, embracing the unconditional love on my road of happiness.
לא, הם לא צעירים, הם ביחד כבר המון. היא איבדה את האור, הוא איבד את הדמיון. לפעמים במטבח דרך כוס קפה היא חושבת שהוא עדיין די יפה. הוא נזכר איך נגע בו בלילה הראשון. בעיניה זורח הבת אחר, הוא כמעט אומר לה אבל מבטר. היא עדיין חידה, אולי במקום אחר מחלקים דירה צנועה ובחור פשוט היא הייתה כבר נשואה לפעמים כשהוא ער וגופו דרוך הוא שומע אותה בחדר הסמוך היא רוצה אותו היא במיטת הכלואה בעיניה זורח מבט כחול הוא רוצה לחבק אותה ולא יכול הם קרובים כל כך במרחק של נגיעה אז בחלום כמעט עולה הבוקר כל כך הרבה דידות יש בעולם וביניהם שאני נפתח בדרך אל האושר בדרך אל האושר בדרך אל האושר כי אני מאמין שהשער לא סגור גם אני לא פשוט וקשה איתי לגור גם אני לפעמים לא מעז לומר ובוער מכל מה שבתוכי נשאר ובמקום לחשוף גם אני עובר על יד אבל אז בעינייך יש אור חדש וכמו בחישוב שוב אני נכבש את יודעת אותי, את קוראת אותי מיד
שלום, this was דני רובס בדרך אל האושר, on the way to happiness. שלום, welcome, wonderful Sunday. This is the Abracadabra, create what you speak. I'm Ilan Azulay, I'm your host, I'm a spiritual mentor, a guide and a sound therapist to help you reclaim your power. And I would like to start first with daily utterance הריני מקבל על עצמי את מצוות עשה של ואהבת לרעך כמוך I hereby accept on myself the due commandment the utterance of love my neighbor friend colleague in the same way that I express love to myself and looking at that from a perspective of what is the beginning the starting point The starting point is focusing on you, focusing on first coming to a whole place and on the way on it, on the way to quote unquote that place, we are elevating, we are shifting, we are becoming more aware, more mindful of our conduct and what we do and how we do and where we're coming from when we say what we say. And so One of the ways, as we talked about in other times, is to want something good for the other person, to want the best of the best for the other person in the same way that you wish it upon yourself, that we wish it upon us. So that is a materialistic expression. Materialistic expression in the sense of that it could be tangible, but it could also, but it especially could be intentional. So it is the intention. When we wish something for somebody, we are actually creating vibration. We are creating energy. We are intending. It's like whistling or taking air out of your mouth in kind of like a whistle form. So there is a direction. You're directing, we are directing energies toward a certain direction. And not a physical direction, right? The person that you may be talking about could be 1,000 miles away. But it is the intention that we send through, and it goes through the fabric of the creation, the fabric of how we are connected. How many times does it happen when you think of somebody and they call? These are what I call the kissing points of our synchronicities, where we are, it's like those sparks of our connectedness to one. That spark that connects us, and then suddenly there is a flash, and we think of somebody and they call. We think of somebody and they appear. We imagine something in a constructive way and it manifests. Constructive way depends where you're coming from. If we're coming from a place of need or coming from a place of abundance. And so that is, how do we intend when we are wishing something for somebody good, for something good for somebody and somebody good? The phone number, I would like to give you the phone number here. You can call and ask, say, state, share. That is the beauty of things. 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. So what I would like to talk about today and to share with you today, it is on our road to, or is it to, happiness, we're going through certain stages of challenges. And those challenges actually are shaping us. And these challenges too, and these events, or any event, could be challenge good in what feels positive, exhilaration, or a challenge, emotional challenge, or physical challenge, but it'll come down to emotional challenge that appears to be negative. And we are coming to these places of anxiety. And around this topic, I would like to focus on today. And so then there are and it spreads, and we'll never could be able to cover that in the splinter of the time that we have. And so getting to our goal, making sure that we fit everything that we have to do today or this week, trying to rush through things so we can meet the goal. And of course that happens, if we look at a work environment, that happens in the corporate world, and not necessarily only the corporate, but predominantly. Where there is just production, and then the quality goes down because there is more to produce and to to make more money and all that cycle. And so we run through something. We run, we have this at 2, we have this at 4, we gotta run. And not just to run to somewhere, but to run in somewhere. And in is in us. We're running in somewhere to this feeling of almost like a hunger feeling, right? There's this feeling of a hunger. There's this feeling of, this is something I really have to have. And not have necessarily in a physical form, but to have to experience or to be in. Because, and then we start making stories. And we're so focused on where we want to go, believing that when we get there, once we get there, once we achieve that, at this moment, not achievable yet, once we are there, once we get that, everything will be beautiful, everything will be hunky-dory, and it is wonderful, and we can go home. And then if all fits our existence, fits our presence, fits our essence as humanoids, as human beings, then it feels unfulfilled. Right? And that eventually these unfulfillment steps cause frustration. And we are frustrated when we are not receiving what we want, the way we want it, and how we want it. Putting all our might and all our power and all our, that by hook or by crook, I'm going to get there and I'm going to do that. And sometimes, and many times too, it works. The question is, was it right for you? Was it right for you after you received, or after you've arrived there? Let's say you have a 323-203-0815 if you just joined. So let's say you have a busy schedule. You have a busy schedule and you get up. And you get up out of bed. You run, you rush, go, all these things. You know, that can be very intimidating. And one of the portions that we talked a couple of weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, talking about when Pharaoh believed that his might, his power, that created everything. And sometimes we are caught in this. Because we may be our only resource for caretaking of people, for example, it can be very scary if we look at that in a way that is independent on our physical power, on our physical place here. So when we are focusing on something that is not spiritual, that is only physical, in Kabbalah, the anxiety is referred to as crying of the soul. So the soul is not receiving what it needs. So now, animals, for example, they don't get depressed. I haven't seen a depressed dog going around saying, "Man, I can't walk this road anymore. Animals do what they're supposed to do. They're just being, and they're experiencing, and they're running and jumping, and the dog barks, you know, and if not, the dog relaxes. But we are not just a nefesh being. We're not just, a nefesh is the lowest part of the five part of soul, the nefesh. This is the part of the soul that remains here that maintains the body when we sleep. The body is not alive, and yet it's not dead. It's just an idol. So nefesh is, in a way, the idol part, the idol lower part of the soul. But it's also referred to and is the animalistic part of the soul. The animalistic part of the soul that resides in the area of the liver. The liver, where all the desires and needs and wants and everything is in that area. And so that remains here. And that is referred to the animalistic because as an animal, you're working by instincts. Oh, this goes, I'm going there. Though somebody threw a piece of meat, I'm going to eat that piece of meat. It doesn't matter if it's meat, could be poison, could be bad. No, it doesn't matter. We'll deal with it later. And that is the animalistic, the nefesh part of the soul. So the nefesh stays here. And when we are in that mode of satisfying only the nefesh, giving our wants and attention only to what the nefesh is needing, then we're not satisfied on the top, on all the other top levels. Because we are human beings, and what differs us from the animals is the speech. And the ability to do all these wonderful things that we are gifted to do and be as. And so the soul is crying out. It's like a body. If you have a headache, the headache means your body is lacking something. It could be oxygen because you didn't sleep well at night and you were snoring, or you watched TV the night before and you fell asleep to the TV, and the blue light reduces certain hormones that is produced to your brain to allow you to sleep. And so you can get up with many reasons of a headache. You didn't drink enough water. And you're tired. So many reasons. So you get up and you have a headache. And so our instinct, many times, if you are a fan of Western medicine, you take a pill. Let's pop that plastic in. And you take a pill, and the headache appears to have been gone, but it hasn't. Those headache pills are whether they're doing, they're working on your receptors and telling your brain that you don't feel pain. Similar to some people that walk on fire, sleep on needles, and are able to bring their body to an extreme state of being that is not natural in its way to the way of a human being. And they can produce heat and walk on different things. And what is happening is this is what the pill does. It takes away your ability to recognize and translate it as to pain. So technically you don't have a headache. You have a relief from pain, but it doesn't treat the pain. So the pain is still there, the need is still there, you're still tired, you're still hungry, you're still thirsty, and you continue to work on the same habits that you've done before that caused you the headache. But now because you have a pill and it tells you that you don't have a headache, you continue to do that. And you're running your body down, and not just your physical body, but your physical body will produce all kinds of things that will eventually feed back to the emotional body, and then the spiral is and so that comes many times. So when we are looking for things, we are on the way, we need to get there, we need to get to the schedule, we are bringing anxiety to us, and we are experiencing Some of us can experience severe anxiety attacks. And anxiety is of something that didn't happen. It didn't happen. And we are creating stories, creating stories, and the way that I work and the way that I ask you to look at things is, let's disconnect for a second when we talk about these kind of things from any emotional attachment. So we always have there. We have a story of why we do this or that, and there is reasoning. It's not about the reasoning for why to do one thing or the other, just to look at the picture of how events are happening and how they're tied to one another. Okay, so we are creating ourselves, really, something, a reality that exists in our head, but it really doesn't exist outside of our head. It exists only, and we're doing it all the time. We do it when we are on the street. We think that that person saw this. We left a piece of clothing open. We think that somebody saw that, and we're all embarrassed, and we're getting all these kind of small things. We're creating stories in our heads. It can be from small things, it could be to larger things, to larger situations. We have so many things, and we have so many things to get done. And when we look at the big picture, we have so many things. Suddenly, sometimes we have this feeling that we're just stuck like a deer in front of a headlight. And we feel we're stuck like a deer in front of a headlight. And we pray for miracles. We're like, what's going to happen? How are we going to continue out of this? And there is this article that I will refer to that really kind of touches on this. And this is something that obviously has been written in Kabbalah and in this chapters of the sages, long before the scientific reason or finding came to be. But, you know, some people need this article to feel that this is what, oh, now it's true, now it's real. But when we are in this anxiety state, when we're in this place of we want to do, but we're not doing, we're stuck like a deer in front of a headlight, we're stuck in a contemplation mode. We're stuck in this place of wanting to be somewhere versus being somewhere. It's like, imagine that you have to confront somebody. You have to confront somebody. You have to confront somebody that you really don't want to confront. And it could be in any situation. And the reason I say confront is because that is the initial state that we come from. If you're going to talk to somebody who you don't really have the pleasure or the giggles to talk to or with. Right, so there is a beginning state of confrontation. Not necessarily not an active physical, but inside and like a contrast. You're feeling this contrast. You're feeling this contrast between this energy that you want to be in versus the energy that arises when you are in the vicinity of that person or of that situation which you are trying to avoid. Right, so you don't want to confront somebody. You need to confront somebody, and you really don't want to confront. And you could start creating stories before that meeting or before that phone call. Oh, if I say this, this will happen. And if I say this, this will happen. Oh my God, what will happen if I say this and they will not accept it? I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore. I can't take it. You see, and we go into a whole loop of things that if the base of that expansion would rely on reality, then probably it could have happened. But it's based on something that didn't happen. It's like I go up on a tree, the trunk of the tree, we want to get to the edge of the tree to stay solid. And then we start going off we're starting to go off on the limb. And now from that limb, from that place, there is also expansion of different leaves and different limbs. And we're saying, wow, that's great. Look, what a great expansion. Yes, but we are not on the main trunk. this is really not where we are heading, right? So you are on the tree and you are looking to the side and you start creating stories that don't exist necessarily. As I was talking about the tree, it actually occurred to me that it fits also in a way that we could use this imagery in stopping off the side of the road. Like the first piece that I read today. Sometimes it is wonderful and necessary, if not all the times, to stop and to pay attention to what happens on the road and what happens on the journey that we're on. Because we're so rushing to get to these places. We're so anxious about what possibly may happen. We don't know what will happen, but what possibly may happen. And we are consumed by these emotions that are putting our foot in our mouth, and we're not enjoying the process of getting there. And the process of getting there, that's what's important. And you know how? Because when you get to the final, when you get to the end, when you are at the end of an experience, when you are in you exited a job, you're past a relationship where you realize your place in that relationship and how you were in all your anxious emotions and feelings, or we were in this place of focusing only on that branch. That's what the word I was looking for earlier, branch. And I came up with a limb. Focusing on that branch and not focusing on the tree. And when you are past that, you remember those experiences. When you get to the goal, when you get to the finish line, what you remember is your journey. You're looking back and say, wow, that was really fun being in that place. Wow, that was really beautiful to experience this love, to experience this acceptance. We're looking back at our journey. When we are at the end of our journey, we look back and we say, wow, this was What meaning did I make of everything? So we are now here. We are now here. We are going through all these beautiful, magnificent, and opportunist experiences. Because every experience is an opportunity. Every experience is an opportunity. Yes, there is a pain, and there is nervousness, and what are we going to do, and how are we going to do? And at the end of the journey, we connected the dots. We connected the dots, and then we understand. How many times do you say to yourself, oh, if I knew then what I knew now? Right? We all said it at least once. And if you are Jewish, you said it 3 times. If we knew then what we know now, right? This is what we say. We're looking back at our experiences. We're looking back at the pain that we experienced, at how we handled the pain, if we handled it, how we've been in a certain place, how we've been in front of somebody else, the checks and balances about our presence. And going places will trigger that. Meeting certain people will trigger those feelings, or may trigger, let's put it this way. So what do we do? What do we do with that feeling that is generated, and the thought, and then the perception that we start perceiving based, and we start believing based on our perception? And we start, we see things, we are attaching an old story, an old experience, outcome or feeling to this new experience. And we believe that this is how this person may be responding, or this is how the person is going to say what they're going to say, because they are absolutely like that and like that. And why do we say that? I say that because I had it in the past. And that happens all the time. And when we come from that place, we are setting the field. We are setting the field of play. We are setting up and we are confining the field of play. We are putting boundaries and limits. Now, if it is not something that is in your trajectory of where you want to go, then absolutely. Because it is not only about go where your heart is. The heart is a tourist. It's like a tourist comes to a new city. The tourist never knows where he's going to start and where he's going to end. So it is not about the tourism, but it is about the intentional visits. Oh, that's good. It's not about the tourism, it's about the intentional visits. And with intentional visits, we can enjoy the trip. We can enjoy the ride. We enjoy the colors, we enjoy the flowers, we enjoy the bloomings, we see the people around us as bloomers. We see the people around us as flowers, as potentials, as we are. So there is this article that I want to share with you. The article is called "Your Brain is Secretly Wired to Resist What You Want Most." It's from Brianna Weist, I believe. And what it talks here is something that that is scientific, and but it talks about what we've talked about in the past, and we continue to discover and to evolve with that. And it's really when we get to where we want to get, we will be happy. We'll be able to chill, to have a margarita, to a banana, all this kind of stuff. Everything is cool. We're chilling. But that is really not what's happening, as we've discovered, and as we talk from the Kabbalah perspective of the hunger of the soul. That when we are not feeding our intention, our essence to us, we become hungry. And in the chapters of our sages, it talks about you give him 100, he wants 200. Give him 200, he wants 400. Why? Because we're trying to feed the soul, the spiritual part of our being, with physical presences, with physical things, or with physical achievements. And that physical achievement is raising this expectation, the levels that we have, this dopamine that we have, right? If we're looking at the physical physiology of how things are happening in the physical level. And so it raises that hormone that is giving us the pleasure, the sense of pleasure of getting these things, right? So we're getting this, and then when we get there, then the soul realizes that, nah, you tricked me. You gave me something that is material, physical. I want something spiritual. So now the 100 that you showed me last time, ain't gonna work. Have to have something more successful. Now we want 200. So now we want double. We want. And that happens very, it flows like almost without paying attention sometimes. That's why it happens. When, for example, somebody who is 14, 15, or 16 is getting a brand new car as a gift just because they are 16. Personally, I don't subscribe to that methodology, but there are people who do. And that's okay. That's where they are. The thing is, when you do that, it's like we're overfeeding our soul with junk food in relation to soul and physical desires, physical needs. And then so the RAF, the level already starts high. And then the next thing would be a boat. You know, it is for things that are not associated with an effort. It's not about the achieving. It's at least about effort. Because the effort and how we look at that will continue that road of what will happen, what will be the outcome. And so you want 100, you get 100, you see it's not enough, now you want 2. So that's the cry of the soul. That's the cry of the soul. It's just like what I was talking about with the headache. You have a headache, you give it something that is not fixing the headache, is not taking care of your spiritual and your emotional state, but tricks your physical state to think something else. So you're not feeling it. So the headache doesn't go away, so doesn't the cry of the soul. So when we are, so the article is really talking about the neurological aspects and talks about that when we really want something, we are just starting, we want to want more. That is the physical that is trying to feed the spiritual. And it talks here about a research on the chemical, on the dopamine. So previously it was believed to be the driving force behind desire, lust, acquisition, achieving. But the research made it actually more precise. So what is actually happening is that dopamine, it turns out, is not a chemical that gives you pleasure. Is it a chemical that gives you the pleasure of wanting more? So when we are on that road to reach that goal, that's where that dopamine plays. And once we reach that place, we want more. Why? Because as the research continued, the dopamine level decreased immediately or quite immediately after receiving that desired effect. And so we search, we're looking, and so is in every situation, everything, even especially relationships. Right? So we're looking. And there was the story that I told once or twice, but I'm not going to do the whole thing, but the rabbi and his student that was asking about the wheat field and the corn field. And it is when you see that which is comprehensive of all that you want or desire or is good for you in both aspects. I'm not about suppressing or ignoring one area. There is a way of ignoring. You can ignore anxiety. You can ignore thoughts about something and just fill your cup with positivity. But the thing is that you're ignoring that. You're putting it aside. And maybe you need to. Maybe you need to raise your power of positivity so you can handle more effectively that which you ignored earlier. It's all good as long as we are balanced on it and dealing with everything. So we want something, and and we are looking, and when we are seeing that there is a feed, not only to the desire, but also to the spiritual part of that connection or of that desire, then we say, oh, it's too big on me. Right? You say it's too big on me. So to illustrate something small, I saw and this is a shout out to Ilana Bazov. She created a mini series. Three episodes for now, and it's called Through Her Eyes, Dach Einheim Shela. And there is there an episode, I like the third episode, where what she did is that she took a she took a situation of, in that episode, of looking for an apartment. Somebody, a guy that is looking for an apartment, and the landlord who is played by her, she wrote, directed, and she's playing, and she, she wrote. And so she's the landlord that shows the apartment to the guy that just came in. And the guy comes in, and there's a cordial, a nice hello, and the guy's, they're talking, and she's showing him the living room, and the guy says, yeah, I'm really starting to feel the good vibes here. I really feel the loveliness and the kindness, and it's fun being here, and wow, I like the colors, and outside really looks nice, really looking really nice on the outside, everything is being taken care of. Seems like you're taking care of yourself, you're taking care of everything, and very welcoming. And slowly, gradually, she goes from the most common room in the house to the most lucrative room in the house. Let's put it this way. And so there is the foyer, and then there is the kitchen, and the kitchen comes a little bit later, not the first one. Because the kitchen is another way of entering, and as the guy enters, he loves the smell. And he likes the colors and how everything is arranged and how she put in everything that is there to give it a feeling of a home, to give it a feeling of togetherness, of connecting. And so as they go through and the connection is open and he feels more open and she feels more open and they feel comfortable and everything is great. And then she offers him, well, let me show you the most important room in the house, the bedroom. And so now, as she explains also, it's now that we've been through all the rooms and we really feel comfortable, this is a time to open up. So we're opening up. And they come out of the bedroom, still with the clothes, and they are in this near the door, and the guy is really, really excited. But then he says, you know, really, I mean, there is here everything and stuff like that, but you know, it's a little too big for me. And she looks at him and says, but this is what you wanted, no? Isn't this what you wanted? He says, yes, I know, but it's too big for me. And I recommend just watching this for the sweetness of how it's done and the messages underneath. It's not the story. It's not just the story of what you see on the picture on the screen. It's really what's coming underneath. So thank you for sharing that, Ilana. And this is what happens. We come. We are coming to this. We are going through all this way. And sometimes we meet somebody new and we feel it's too big. Why? Because it takes us out of the comfort of what we know to what might happen. And that is, traditionally to humanoids, a very uncomfortable and challenging situation. And that is where God is, in the challenges. In the challenges. How are we taking our place, taking our space? How are we taking our actions towards what we want? And so we see something, it fits. If we are authentic to ourselves, is it there? Then the fear, all this fear of, the fear of commitment, the fear of opening up, the fear of releasing what doesn't serve that which you're in now anymore. All these places are strong places that we come with for many years. We carry them for many years. And so we'll leave you on this, on what happens when you come to this place that you always wanted. You've wanted, You asked for it. You asked for it, and it manifested more than you could have ever imagined. And I talk from a personal experience and from professional experience. It's here. What do we do with this? Thank you for being here. On the web, bodysoulsound.com. See me on Facebook, Body Soul Sound, or my Facebook, Ilan Azulay. And everything is a dream, and every dream can be real. Is this dream good for you? אחרי הכל השיר, שלמה ארצי, thank you for being here. Much love. Make it a magical day.
אחרי הכל השיר, לא עוד בשר ודם, לא עוד אישה חיה, אבל הציר קיים, והוא עטוף מילים, מילים ומנגינה, וקצב מסוים. אחרי הכל, הציר קיים, כל המילים שאת לחשת בי, כל המילים שאת לחשת הן שיר עכשיו. אוהבת ועוד מה שחשת בי, מילים 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 בשיר נכתב. תרורי חשתי מילים מילים מילים
you speak with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.